Good morning. Such an intimate crowd today. Turn to Genesis chapter 44. We're starting back, going through the whole Genesis narrative. Okay, Genesis chapter 44. Then he commanded his house steward, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his money for the grain." And he did as Joseph had told him. As soon as it was light, the men were sent away, they with their donkeys. They had just gotten out of the city and were not far off when Joseph said to his house steward, "Up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from whom my Lord drinks, and which he indeed uses for divination? You have done wrong in doing this.' So he overtook them and spoke these words to them. And they said to him, 'Why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants to do such a thing. Behold, the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks we have brought back to you from the land of Canaan. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves.' So he said, 'Now let it be according to your words. He whom it is found shall be my slave, and the rest of you shall be innocent.' Then they hurried, each man lowered his sack to the ground, and each man opened his sack. And he searched, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and when each man loaded his donkey, they returned to the city. When Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. And Joseph said to them, 'What is this deed that you have done? Do you not know that such a man as I can indeed practice divination?' So Judah said, 'What can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? And how can we justify ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Behold, we are my Lord's slaves, both we and the one in whose possession the cup has been found.' But he said, 'Far be it from me to do this. The man in whose possession the cup has been found, he shall be my slave. But as for you, go up in peace to your father.' Then Judah approached him and said, 'O my Lord, may your servant please speak a word in my Lord's ear, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are equal to Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, "Have you a father or a brother?" And we said to my Lord, "We have an old father and a little child of his old age. Now his brother is dead, and so he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, "Bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him." But he said to my Lord, "The lad cannot leave his father. If he should leave his father would die. You said to your servants, however, "Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again." Thus it came about when we went up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, "Go back, buy us a little food." But we said, "We cannot go down. If our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down, for we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. And your servant, my father, said to us, "You know that my wife bore me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, 'Surely he is torn in pieces, and I have not seen him since. And if you take this one also from me, and harm befalls him, you will bring my gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will come about when he sees that the lad is not with us that he will die. Thus your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Sheol in sorrow. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, 'If I do not bring him back to you, then let me bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad, a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest I see the evil that would overtake my father?'" Amen. Now, this is, chapter 4 is right in the middle. And so, or I'm sorry, chapter 44. And so, remember the whole story. Joseph is, I feel like I got to go back since it's been like a couple months since we did Genesis. Joseph gets sold into slavery. Joseph, by the providence of God, is hugely successful. And so he is able to really preserve all of the land. We'll read later on that Joseph says something really profound. It says, "What the enemy caused for evil, God turned to good." And we see that Joseph was sold into slavery so primarily so that the Israelites would survive. That's basically what's happening. It's like we see a little event taking place, but there's a huge picture, big picture behind it, which should give us some insight. We'll get into that a little bit later on, because a lot of it more is in chapter 45. And so the brothers go. Joseph recognizes his brothers, which is pretty crazy, since it's been years and they have no recollection of Joseph whatsoever, because he's probably looks totally like an Egyptian. And so he gets this idea that he wants to see his father and he wants to see his brother Benjamin. Part of that is their hostility towards Joseph was not just because he was a braggart. His hostility was because the father favored Joseph and Benjamin. And so I think in the first part, Joseph is very concerned about his brother, younger brother Benjamin. You can imagine, as a brother, Benjamin would have probably been maybe a baby or 5, 6, 7 years old. I mean, really young at this time. And man, sure enough, he's very concerned about his younger brother. And so this whole thing comes, and so, you know, he puts the money in the sack, they bring him back, and they say, hey, we're going to keep one here. If your younger brother doesn't come, then, you know, and then it takes a long time. Remember, they filled these grains, these sacks of grain, and it wasn't until they ran out of food. So we don't know how much time passes through this. So you think about a caravan. And, you know, a lot of brothers, a lot of camels, a lot of seed, grain, and then they come back with the son, and Judah makes a promise. So we have this kind of interlude moment here where the brothers are brought back, and Joseph takes a cup. This is, if you notice in the text, and you'll see this every once in a while, and he says in verse 2, and put my cup, the silver cup. This is a we call a definite article. And so this cup is not just any cup. It's the cup. We'll see this in Luke when the prodigal son, remember the father says, kill, it wasn't any calf, it was the fattened calf. It was a definite article. And so everyone knew what this cup was about. The cup, in Egyptian custom, the silver cup, it was probably the cup that Joseph used during this great feast. It's kind of like bringing out your finest china, or yeah. But it's even more than that, because there was also a divine purpose of the cup. The Egyptians would use a cup. It was a family cup, and it would be used for divination. It'd be used to predict the future. It'd be used to do all kinds of really, we'd say in our vantage point, demonic things with. Now, most likely Joseph, being a devout man of God, he probably didn't use the cup in those purposes, but he probably let the other Egyptians assume that he did. I'm just reading into the text, because he's so devout, he would not dishonor his God. But it was quite known that this what this cup is. And so for someone to lose his cup or have it not there would have been a huge thing. It's probably in someone's house, the cup would probably be placed quite prominently there. To give you maybe a kind of equivalent, it'd be similar to if there was any kind of a... in Asian houses, there's all these deities. Imagine one day the deity was taken out of, you know, the little prayer thing. I mean, almost in every house that we've been in, we've had altars. Very typical in Chinese, and they're usually very nicely decorated. There's usually different kind of wallpaper, usually gold or, you know, something. I mean, I had it in the other place. I have it in our new place as well. And, whenever we move in, we make sure that we clean house first and all those things. But it'd be kind of similar to that. And so he takes the cup. And interesting, Joseph continues to show his care over his brother, in that he asks them to put the cup in Benjamin's sack. And most likely, it's because he did have this concern for the brother, and so he wanted the brother to come back. And it's almost as if maybe still doesn't trust his brothers yet. It could be that he still has a lot of concern for Benjamin, it could very well just simply been that once he saw his brother Benjamin, he didn't want him to depart at all. There's this fondness that's there. You know, I mean, it's his brother of the same mother. And so there's something quite profound in that. And so they bring the brothers back. And then again, Judah steps in. And Judah, if we're going to just take this little piece here, Judah is the Christ-like figure in this passage. This is what we call, he plays a type of Christ in the sense that he's all about replacing. He's like, whatever Benjamin deserves, and he does, because they said it as an oath. They said, whoever, you know, let him be put to death. I mean, that's what they said first, and then let them be the slave. And so what was owed Benjamin, he says, let me take his place. And so Judah, and I think that's what really shifted Joseph's heart, that we'll read later on in chapter 45, that Joseph actually just breaks down. And it says, in chapter 45, it says he cried so loud that even Pharaoh heard. And so, I mean, he must have been wailing. This is just years of pain that he's been carrying and loss and separation. And so he's experiencing all these things happen. And it's really Judah. And remember, Judah was the one that was totally against all this. Judah, remember, went back to release Joseph way back in the beginning. Judah's the one who told his brother, hey, don't do this thing. And he said something very profound. He says, evil will befall you. In other words, man, you're not going to escape. Right, it's like what you reap is what you sow, basically, in a kind of Old Testament motif. And so, I mean, just really crazy. And so Judah comes and he plays that Christ character, and something happens to Joseph's heart. I mean, I think Joseph was already quite warmed to it already. Joseph, more than anything else, he wanted to see his father. He wanted to make sure his father was well. He wanted to see his brother. That really was his concern more than anything else. And I think Judah stepping up, and the other brothers as well. The other brothers stepped up as well. And we'll all be slaves. And I think Joseph recognized, wow, these guys have changed. They're not the same brothers that sold me into slavery. They're willing now to replace or join Benjamin in this, you know, basically in a life of slavery. I think that really moves Joseph's heart. And there, I mean, there's something really to be said about sacrifice. I think when we really see sacrifice laid out, something that really moves upon us in that way. It's quite powerful. I was telling a story to the guys in EG last night. You know, I came back from Beijing yesterday. I'm actually flying out again today. I'm preaching there this Sunday, so I was, you know, I've been spending a lot of time with Chris and Amy and you know, with the leaders, with Pastor Sam Kim and Annie, and just kind of, you know, just speaking to their life, doing pastoral care, you know, everything that I should be doing. And I noticed Sam didn't have his watch anymore. And it was his wedding watch, and it's because I helped him pick it out. You know, I mean, I gave him a lot of advice on what he should get and whatnot. So he picked a really nice IWC watch that, you know, Annie's parents bought for him. And I was like, hey, man, ask him, dude, where's your watch, man? You know, because I feel like I have some vested interest in this watch, right? I said, hey, where's your watch? And he said, you know, we're at a prayer meeting one day, and the Lord kind of spoke to us, and so we gave it away. And I was like, what? You gave away your wedding watch? Are you crazy? And the reasoning was that there was a sister in the church who was a bit depressed that she wasn't getting married. This is being recorded, right? I might get in big trouble, but in any case. And so it was kind of like a prophetic act. It was like, here, you know, you can give this to your husband, kind of thing. And you know, and I was there. I was like, wow, that's, you know, sacrifice. It's you know, obeying God, and it just moves your heart. And generally, when you hear stories like that about someone's sacrifice, it makes you want to sacrifice. You know what I mean? It's called the spirit of generosity. The spirit just begins to move over us. And you see someone being kind and seeing they're being sacrificial in that way, you want to likewise as well. And so afterwards, I was like, man, what a blessing. I was thinking, wow, you know, no wonder the Lord's really blessing you, Sam, and, you know, and your family and, you know, all these things. It's just that simple obedience and that willingness to sacrifice. It tugs at our heartstrings. I would probably venture to say that's probably how we all came to the Lord. We were so moved by Jesus' sacrifice. Kind of like Judah. Judah is scot-free, but he says, let me take his place. That's what we call the atonement, you know, using a very spiritual term. That's the atonement. Jesus atones for our sin. Jesus takes our place in what we deserve. Jesus replaces us, and he puts upon himself the punishment that we deserve. Judah is this type of Christ. It's a really great picture, and it did something in Joseph's heart. Amen? We'll get to more exciting stuff. Continue on. But let's take this time and let's go before the Lord. Have you been moved by anyone's sacrifice recently? Have you been touched by maybe just even simply the sacrifice of the Lord? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you being challenged yourself to sacrifice, to replace? That's really the definition of humility. Those with power that are willing to give up power, willing to give up rights for the benefit of others. Let's ask the Lord for a humble heart, that we would really deploy our resources, our energies, our power to not benefit ourselves, but to benefit others. That's what Jesus did. As we sing, let's just meditate on that.
Disciple in the truth. The world is empty, pale, and poor compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life, to know and follow hard after you. know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in your truth. The world is empty, pale and poor, and bare to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. To know and follow hard after you, to grow as your disciple in your truth. The world is empty, pale, and poor, compared to knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on, and I will run after you. Lead me on, and I will run after you. And lead me on, and I will run after you.
And let's pray this morning. Let's pray that we would be people that are very easy to sacrifice ourselves. Maybe you're in a situation and you'd be surprised what that act of generosity will do to someone's heart. Proverbs tells us that a gift subdues anger. There's something about generosity that moves in people's lives. Let's ask Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us and just allow our hearts to be knitted with His in such a way that that we in many ways become like Jesus, play that type like Judah. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community, and let's pray for all the ones that are battling cancer. Let's pray for the victorious Lord to release that healing word. And let's also pray for Scott, who's going through another surgery over his brain, put a stent in. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community that is ill, but also needs to find Jesus. Let's pray that Jesus would reveal Himself to them in the midst of their infirmities and illnesses. Let's pray that they would receive Christ. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that need to find work. And let's pray for God's hand and provision over them. Let's pray that they wouldn't tie their lack of work with their worth. They would find their identity in Christ first and foremost, and not in their job or occupation or anything like that. That God would really use this time to really build in them that character. And let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray this morning for Indonesia. Let's pray for Febe and ministry, Pastor Salaman and his family. Let's pray for Kupang and our mission trip that's going there this summer. Let's also pray for SP Singapore. Let's pray for God's provision of a senior leader that would lead the church. You know, John Wong is here today. Let's pray for John and as he's a member of the board there, John and Shan, Jennifer, Alvin. Let's pray for the Lord to continue to use these leaders, and that even though they may be without a senior leader, that they would continue to carry on the work and do it well. Pray for all the volunteers, and Spirit of God would just continue to lead this group. Let's pray. Pray for Indonesia and Singapore. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon all of our kids and the parents and the teachers and the pastors, that we really see the next generation raised up well at this church. Now let's lift them up. Let's pray for SP families and marriages. Let's pray for God's grace upon them. If there's any discord, let's pray for unity and restoration. Let's ask God to protect the marriage vows, and the Lord would really rule, and He would be the leader of every household in this church. Let's pray. Let's pray for over our weekend. Let's pray for our two Sunday services. Pray for Noah's Ark. Pray for the worship team this week. Who's leading worship, Nate? Pastor Nate is leading us. Pray for him and his team. Let's pray for the hospitality, the welcoming barista. Pray for the youth group over the weekend as well. Pray for all the outreaches and discipleship classes going on, all the meetings. Especially this morning, we have a wedding. Right? So let's pray for Hyunsu and Chloe and their families as they come together in holy matrimony. And so let's lift up the wedding today as well. Huh? Let's pray over our house churches meeting today. Bel Air, Robinson Fam. Oh, they're on holiday right now. Yeah. So we bless them anyway. Let the leaders get nice rest during this time. Let's pray. Father, we bless you, God, this morning. We thank you for the word, God. We thank you for just the example of sacrifice and love. We thank you, even in Joseph, God, how you turned his heart, Lord, towards his brothers. And it was that act of sacrifice. So teach us, God, how to turn people's hearts. Maybe even we may be ministering to friends and family members, God, that are so close to you, so close to receiving you, God, and let maybe an act of sacrifice be that open door that seals the deal. And so use us, God. We thank you. Watch over us. Bless this weekend, God, as we gather together as a family here in Hong Kong, Beijing, and Singapore. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and have a great, great weekend.